From the Hill Country in Texas, this is OneRadioNetwork.com.
We talk about your health, wealth, and well-being on OneRadioNetwork.com. Once again, here's Patrick.
Yeah, Tony, the NSA always, you know, they already listen to our show, so we don't need to get any more of the agencies in on it, so we'll just keep it at that.
Come on, we'll have a party. We'll invite them all in. Come on.
That's right. Oh, God, when they start releasing our shows on WikiLeaks, then we know we're in trouble, right?
No, actually, that's a good thing.
I think so, too, yeah.
Listen, any publicity is good publicity. And if they're giving that much attention, hey, that's a good thing. That means you're popular.
That's right. If you don't make it on Quack Watch, yeah. I know.
Quack Watch is the...
That's right. Then you've arrived, right?
That's right. That's the standard. You made it there, and I've made it there.
I know you.
It's funny how... You know what cracks me up a lot is people contact me. And you know, these are what I call turnips. These are people that come in who are paid to come into your site, whatever, to create havoc and mayhem and try to cause distortions. So I don't call them trolls. People used to call them trolls. I call them turnips. They always turn up. I'll tell you when they turn up, and you'll find this on your own broadcast too. They'll turn up when you're speaking the truth, and when your numbers start going to a new level, a new height. In numbers that you're reaching people, as soon as that happens, you can count on a turn up or two or 10 or 100 to come and try to hit you and call you whatever, a quack or nutcase or you know, pseudoscience or they'll try to find some fault with your personage or all these crazy attacks. And I have to laugh and smile when I see this, because every time I see this, I think, you know what? You're giving me ammunition to come back at you, number one, which I do sometimes. Sometimes I just basically delete them because they're not worth the time and effort to really talk. But sometimes they throw something out there, and then I have fun with them at their expense because they think I'm just another pretty face. So I figure, okay, let's give it a go. But you'll see this. You'll notice this. And they, like I said, you know, even with your show is a very unique show because you give everybody a forum which comes in and speaks on behalf of whatever they're doing, which gives exposure to other people of other alternatives that they otherwise wouldn't know or be aware of. So this is one of the unique things about your show. So when you're doing what you're doing and you get certain guests to come on your show and all of a sudden your ratings shoot up, you can bet afterwards.
The turnips show up. Yeah, they do. That's a great name. I think I could borrow that. Thanks. Turnips. Yeah, the turnips is good.
They're turnips. Why empower them with the term troll? Uh-huh. They're not trolls. They're turnips. They keep turning up when they're turning up, that whatever you're doing is working.
Uh-huh. One time years ago, I was dating a girl who was in show business in the Chorus Line. She was in a traveling show, and they called the people who were the understudies. You know, the ones that are waiting for the main one to get sick. They called them mushrooms. And I said, why do they call them mushrooms? She said, well, because they keep us in the dark and they feed us BS.
That's right. Exactly. The mushrooms.
I always remember that. She said they call them mushrooms.
Kept in the dark, fed a lot of crap.
Mushrooms. Because they keep saying, oh, we're going to put you on any day. We're going to put you on any day, right? So sit around and wait for the star to get a cold, you know, and that's a tough way to make a living. Oh, well, it's my turnip story. That's my mushroom story. We're going to go to London and talk to Ross. I am enjoying your shows very much. Been listening from the start. Wow, he's a brave guy. Can Tony, do you know how many years you've been doing this with us, Tony? How long? Has it been 5 years?
I think so.
Wow, man.
Something like that, yeah.
Can Tony recommend any simple remedies to heart failure in an 85-year-old female who also has heart arrhythmia? Symptoms experienced include, okay, here's her symptoms, shortness of breath, even with light movement, dizziness, fatigue, weakness, confusion, difficulty getting motivated most times of the day. The doctor is trying to treat her with water tablets, diuretics, and beta blockers, but these are not solving the problems. Any ideas which she could take that could add to what her doctor is giving her?
I would get her off of what the doctor is giving her because it's causing her the problems, and get her on magnesium, potassium, magnesium 100 milligrams, magnesium citrate or magnesium chloride, potassium citrate or potassium chloride 100 milligrams, and get her on taurine 500 to 1,000 milligrams. Have her do that 4 or 5 times a day initially, and then get her also on hawthorn leaf and flower teas. That will stabilize the heart, and that'll bring her back. Give her a couple weeks, because it'll take a couple weeks, but those drugs that you're giving her are causing more problems.
And you think, I know you don't do medical advice. Well, you do, because what do you care? You're in Canada. Let them come and get you. No, I'm just kidding. We don't want that. But you can give these with that little recommendations, you think, pretty safely for most people, what you just said?
That's a general, yeah, generally when you give
which
that to people,
do, whether right?
Yeah, generally people, I mean, this basically these are best of suggestions, right? So
right.
These are suggestions. But based on the research that's there and based on the experience that I have given this stuff to people, mm-hmm. the success rate is pretty high up. You know, we're talking like 90%+. So a lot of times when you're seeing these arrhythmias happening, again, that's usually tied to magnesium and potassium. Taurine directs these minerals into the heart and regulates the heart as well. It also regulates the sugar in the body as well, so and the liver. So when you're talking heart arrhythmias, heart support, these are some of the key factors that you have to make sure the system is getting. If she's not, and then the other thing, again, for teas is hawthorn leaf. Not the berry's good. The leaf and flower are stronger and more effective. And the only other thing you may want to throw in there possibly is CQ10, but it's not necessary, but you can throw it in there. But the drugs are on. It's the diuretics are flushing out the potassium and the sodium and the magnesium levels. So it's not doing her any good giving her a diuretic. That is insanity. I think your doctor's literally trying to expire this woman a little faster. It's my thinking.
I'll put you on hold for a second. Tony, I have a friend who is having some arrhythmia. Is that where the heartbeat goes fast? Is that arrhythmia?
Yeah, or it could be, or it could go off. It's not being steadily.
So he's having trouble with fast because he has hyperthyroid, he said, is causing this. Can you, and I'll pass this along to him, can you give him some ideas on that maybe he hasn't thought of?
Get on selenium. He's low on selenium.
What does the selenium do?
It regulates the heart rate and it regulates the thyroid. His thyroid issue is tied to iodine and selenium. When you got a heart going off, you know, getting off whack, that's a selenium issue, you know, because it's tied to the thyroid. The thyroid's causing it, and then he's got to have a selenium deficiency. So he needs to get on selenium, and he might want to do it in a liposome way where you can get selenium powder, and you can take up to as high as 750 milligrams of selenium when you do it that way at one time before it becomes toxic.
Mix it
we found something out.
Mix it in a fat, you mean? Make a liposome from it?
Yeah. Make a liposome out of it. Yeah, we found out something back historically in the early 1900s. They were giving super high doses of selenium without any toxic side effects by putting it in a fat. Basically a liposome.
Making a liposome.
Because the recommended doses today is between 200 micrograms to 1,000 micrograms in a day. They say after that, it gets toxic. Well, when you look at a Brazil nut has 5 milligrams of selenium in it, provided they haven't irradiated or done something stupid to it. So this doctor was actually doing some actual research, and all the STDs, even the powerful STDs that, you know, they're calling AIDS, which isn't really AIDS, he was actually treating and curing people with this. So with a combination of other things as well. So the selenium is the big key player here, in this case anyway, for the heart arrhythmia and the thyroid. So again, get on iodine and get on selenium and a good dose of selenium. So either make it in a liposome or take 200 micrograms a day in a supplement form using either a selenium citrate or a selenium methionine form, and do not exceed, in this case, 2 milligrams, which is 2,000 micrograms in a day, because again, it's not, there's nothing there to slow it down or to regulate it, and then space it out. Don't take it at once, and you should see some alternative changes in what's going on.
Tony Pantelaresco, Patrick Timpone. We're going to have fun tomorrow, and I'll give you tomorrow's lineup here in a second. Again, let's go to the phones and take this call. Good morning. You're on the air. Who's this?
This is Robert. Hey, Tony and Patrick.
Hey, Tony, good morning. Tony, Robert, good morning.
Hi.
Hi.
I sent you a link, if you want to look at it real quick while we're talking. It's about methylene blue. Tony, have you ever heard of methylene blue?
Methylene?
Yes, I have.
Okay, it's real interesting.
What do you want to know about? What's your question on it, Robert?
It's used for all kinds of stuff. Antidepressant, mitochondrial, cancer, Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, increases blood pressure, cognition. And I thought I'd just give it a shot. I just drank some. So go ahead, Tony. What do you know about it?
Really, what you've just said, the mechanisms of how it works, I do not know. And because, again, I never spent a whole lot of time researching it. And what you may have to take it with or not take it with, I don't know either. Because, again, some things, you got to remember, when I read stuff like you're reading, I don't believe any of it until I see some actual studies and how it was applied and how it was used to get the effect that they're talking. That's been the problem with the health industry. We list a whole bunch of things that these things are supposed to be doing, and the list can be 3 miles long, but then when you actually do the research and studies on these things, then you get to see how it actually works. So in this case, I don't know what to tell you because, again, I've never really played with it, nor have I done any real heavy-duty research on it. Like I said, before I do anything these days, based on what I've been seeing in the last 5.7 decades, I'm a little bit, I don't throw caution to the wind anymore. And now I start looking at these things from how did they use it? How was it done? What conditions did this work in? So forth and so on, you know, and that's what I do today. So in answer to your question, I can't really give you an answer because I've never really looked into it.
Okay, I'm shocked. I'm surprised that missed your radar. I knew about it years ago, and trust me, I'm going to say it's been around. This just didn't come around recently. It's been around for a long time.
Oh,
it's actually a medical drug, but it's used. Yeah, did you look at that link yet or anything?
No, I didn't.
Okay, that's right. Yeah, there's a bunch of stuff on Curazone. So yeah, I'd appreciate it if you'd look into it, and then maybe give me your opinion on it next time.
Thanks. Okay. A lot of stuff out there saying they're going to do a lot of things. Here's an email from a lady. Mom is having a hard time with classic arthritis. A lot of pain. Body's kind of overwhelmed. She still manages to work a bit, but would like to know if Tony could maybe give some ideas of what some things that mom could do. Is this generally... Would be safe to conjecture that this is it an autoimmune kind of thing where the body's attacking, in your opinion, Tony?
Oh, definitely. Well, I was going to mention that earlier when we were on the nano stuff, that a lot of the lupus, fibromyalgia, restless leg, autoimmune where the body's attacking itself, this just doesn't happen.
Right.
Normally, our bodies function to protect us. It doesn't look at us as the problem. Excuse me, it looks at whatever's coming in. But once something that small gets into the tissue, when you look at silicon dioxide, let's give you an example. It goes right to the very core of your bone. When it hits the bone, it triggers an autoimmune response right away. And so when you're talking a saturation of these particulates in the cells and the skeletal tissue and the organs, you know, throughout the body now is trying to pull this stuff out or flush it out. But because these things are on a nanoscale, the concentration of these components are extremely excessive. So what winds up happening is you get this kind of condition. So in this case, the first thing I would probably tell her to be doing, you can use a topical like Vicks, which has turpentine in it, which would act as an analgesic by applying it topically, and then start with some form of detoxification. And I'm not talking these detox kits. I'm talking Epsom salts and water with borax. Charcoal with pectin, EDTA, sodium thiosulfate, something that's going to start pulling the stuff out and then start putting back into her body electrolytes back into the system, which would have the full complement of the majority of the minerals you need. The only two that I know of that are clean are trisalts from cardiovascular, which gives you three different salts, and the electrolyte formula by Nutrobiotics. And so start doing that. That would be the best thing. Or the other thing you can use even serrapeptase. Serrapeptase will even break down asbestos, which is a form of silica. So if it can break that down, it'll help start breaking down any of the silicas that may have been accumulated over time.
So these are particular particles of the autoimmune, not necessarily a viral or a bacterial. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I don't even buy into the viral and bacterial
thing
anymore.
You don't think that's what's going on?
No, my humble opinion, based on what I'm looking at, okay, the particles that are embedding into the system is creating anomalies in the body to form because of depletion or whatever. Like I said, we talked about glyphosates earlier. It's taking out 8 or 9 minerals out of the body, selenium being one of them, copper another one, iodine being another one. Zinc is another one. Copper is another one. These are key minerals that keep the body protected. Now, you strip that out, you now basically are in a compromised position for something to happen. So once you remove copper out of the body, for instance, then fungi, bacteria, viruses, parasites, microbes will start to take over because the check and balance to keep that at bay is no longer there. So when you're talking viruses, fungi, bacterium, algae, mold, or microbes in the body, based on what I'm looking at, are secondary impacts of something else that's causing or triggering that effect. So I don't believe in this concept of yeast anymore, or candida being the issue. I'm thinking today what people are actually seeing is a form of biofilm that has collected in the body and is overwhelming the body because it's trying to remove this stuff out, but it can't because it's using that it's using our own immune system to build itself within the system. So until you use some things like, we were talking earlier, turpentine or essential oils or, again, enzymes or chelating agents to start pulling the stuff out and causing a removal of these things, you're going to constantly be fighting with this.
Can you, in a case like this lady, who I know, and I'm not sure how much mom will do as far as detox, is it possible to do a little bit without having real detox reactions? Or do you have to have...
Do you know what I'm saying?
Could you do a little bit of sodium thiosulfate, a little bit of this, a little bit of that, and work out it slowly?
You're going to get a reaction no matter what you do. It's just the way it is. It's just the nature of the poisons causes. Yeah. I mean, it's poisoning within the system. As it's coming out, it's going to leave a issue as well. So,
but if she knows it's helping her, I guess it's not terrible, right? If she believes.
No. The easiest thing, I mean, she may feel a little discomfort, a little nauseous or whatever initially. But once the stuff starts depleting and diminishing, she's going to feel a whole lot better.
Yeah,
now, the easiest and the cheapest detox is, like I said earlier, get a little Epsom salt, a teaspoon of Epsom salt, and either 17 to 20 ounces of water, and add a teaspoon of borax with it. Mix it up, dissolve it, and have her drink that throughout the day. Not all at once.
Sip on it, right?
Sip on it all day long. And that will in itself, then as she goes to the washroom, she may see metal particulates come out of her body. It may come out in her urine. It may come out in her feces. She may see it floating in the toilet bowl, and then don't be alarmed. This is what's causing the issue, and it's finally coming out. So again, that's the mildest.
That's what you would start with. You would start with.
And change the diet, obviously. No bread.
The cleanest food you can, right?
Yeah, no bread. Actually, one of the best things to use is whey.
Oh, the whey protein, yeah.
But whey protein or make your own homemade whey. Yeah, we were talking about ricotta earlier.
Yeah.
Taking milk, 2 liters of milk. What I do how I make mine is I'll actually add enzymes with mine. I find that actually gives it an awesome taste when you add enzymes and a teaspoon of borax in with it.
Wow.
And you mix. Oh, Patrick, you got to try this. This thing is amazing.
So let's get into that a second. So yeah, if you could do the One World Way, it increases your glutathione massively. But if you wanted to play around with something, so what you're doing is you're taking you're using sheep's milk though. Sheep milk, right?
No, any milk, milk you want.
And what do you do?
Okay, in this case, if you can't get access to unpasteurized milk, go to the grocery store, get the 3.2% homogenized. And you can debate the debates with it later. Anyway, you put that in two quarts in a container.
2 quarts.
Right. 2 quarts, and then add a teaspoon. What I do is I take the teaspoon of powdered enzymes, I mix it in there, and a teaption of borax. While it's cooking, mix it together. Okay, and you'll start seeing the protein separate, which is really neat. And then once you bring it to a boil, let it boil for maybe 1 minute, shut it off. That's it, let it cool. And then get yourself, I forget what they're called. They're like a strainer, they're a screen mesh bowl kind of thing.
Sure.
Put a handkerchief inside there and then pour your stuff in there. And what you're going to get is a separation of the curd and the whey.
Yeah.
And the whey is anybody can use it. Even someone who's lacto intolerant can use this.
Sure.
Because it doesn't have the lactic acid in it. So what happens is you got that curd, which has got a super high level of protein to it, 28 grams per 100 grams. In other words, 1 ounce of that, 1 ounce of the 3 ounce volume is pure protein. So if you had 3 ounces of ricotta cheese, you'd be getting, this ricotta especially, you're going to get 28 grams of protein. So you're going to get that in there. And then the whey, you put that in a glass jar, let it chill, and then sip, drink that all day long. That is one of the best fortifiers. When you drink that, you will actually feel your insides get solid again.
Yeah, it's
and
powerful.
That whey regulates the insulin as well.
So you were saying before you were making this ricotta using sheep's milk.
That was another
that'd
thing.
Be fine.
If you can get it.
Yeah, it's hard to find sheep's milk, isn't it?
You can, but that'll give you a higher yield of protein per 100 grams. So that's pretty good. But either one is good. If you can get if you can get unpasteurized milk from the farm, that'll be even better.
Because
then the fat content is there. And you may, in the homogenized milk, if you do buy it, you may have to add a cream to it while you're making it. Because you may need the extra fat for it to bind better. But yeah, it's really good. It tastes really good. I tried it with the vinegar and I tried it with the lemon juice. I found that the cheese came out a little bit too acidic, but when you add the enzymes to it,
you're just using an enzyme, Tony, that they have at the hippie food store with a lot of the different proteases, amylase, and all that kind of stuff in there, right?
Yeah. Yep. Try to find one without silicon dioxide.
My grandma that you mentioned it, that's how she did it. She would just, I used to watch her, she would just, I think she'd heat it up or something, then she'd put just lemon juice and separate the curds in the whey, and she'd make her own ricotta. But you like to, with the enzymes in there, it even makes it better.
Oh, it's such a mild, full flavor. Oh, it's unreal. The enzymes make a difference. Well, another way they used to do is they used to use rennet, which is basically the intestines from the stomach lining of the sheep. And I can see why. When you add lemon juice or vinegar, the cheese has a little bit of a bite to it, like a little acidic.
I remember.
If you don't like the acidic taste to it, then just use the end and talk about mellow. Oh, is it ever
really?
Good?
Really?
And then you can add yogurt. And I mix mine up with yogurt. I'll even pour a little of that in my with my raw milk in the morning, around pasteurized milk with my culture. And I'll add my and blend it together, which gives me more protein in it. And it's you can do a lot with it. You can even make a dip with it. That is the food you should be giving your kids in the morning, stuff like that with eggs or a yogurt. That's what you should be feeding the children in the morning, not cereal.
A little bit of that, a lot of that protein and some eggs. Wow, get them going, right?
Yep. And then if you drink, give them a little. Now, for those who say they're lacto intolerant, you can drink that whey, because if you look at the research on it, the whey does not affect people with lacto intolerances, because again, the milk sugars are not there. It's just basically the whey product, the leftover.
Right.
That's what they make the whey protein powders out of. So again, this is something that even people with that condition can use and drink, and you'll see it has a very powerful fortifying effect on the system.
Excellent. Tony Pantelarosco, this is Patrick Timpone, One Radio Network. This is one of my favorite things ever, Tony. People send me pictures of things that come out of their butt. And so they want me to forward this to you. So you're going to be on the list here. This guy sends this picture. You should see this stuff. It's like weird. So I'm going to send it to you, Tony. You get to look at it. It's because I had to look at it. Tony Pantelarosco. And this is OneRadioNetwork.com. Please, folks, don't send me stuff that come. It's okay. They just do. I don't know. They have from the beginning. And it's like a kid say, Mom, look what we have here. It's hilarious, isn't it? Wow. It's just hilarious. We mentioned that these seed oils, if you'd like to try some of these, man, I am just really having fun. I've been playing with the black cumin seed oil, the black sesame seed oil from Andreas, and boy, my tummy likes it a lot. It just likes it a lot. I suspect that over the years, I did some a little bit of damage into my stomach. So when I was having the heartburn stuff, and still do every now and then, it's just the acid or kind of an ulcerative kind of thing, where I don't think it never was a full-blown ulcer, but it was, I think, just with all the HCL I took. Boy, I just really hurt my tummy. And this black cumin seed oil, along with my herbs from India, have really been helping. Amazing, amazing, amazing. This black cumin seed oil, black sesame seed oil, these are like either zero. The cumin had zero oxidation. They had to test it. Could you imagine that, an oil with zero oxidation? When's the last time have you ever seen that? And this is because he presses these oils with under 100 degrees, as little bit of friction as he possibly can. He's a German fellow, and you know how they get. They get real persnickety about this. He's actually figured out how to squash these seeds, whether it be pumpkin, sunflower, sesame, hemp, cumin, coriander, pumpkin. What are the other ones? Pumpkins. I mean, there's a couple other ones. I think that's about it. Without letting the seeds go into the oil. So these are the cleanest tasting, most beautiful flax that you've ever tasted. Just as smooth, and there's no seeds in there. There's no oxidation. They did the flax, and it was 0.0003 oxidation. Can you imagine? And that's the problem with most oils out there. Even the one at the hippie food stores in the refrigerator, I don't think they're good to take. And then, of course, the cod liver oil and all that stuff. Fish oils, we never recommended those. But these are some really cool products. Andrea Seed Oils from the One World Way people. You can see the ad right on the front page of One Radio Network. Previously with Stephen Huer, and why the uniqueness of One World Way delivers exceptional benefits.
A non-denatured, truly pure, truly raw whey protein will only help to raise glutathione. And when you raise glutathione, you have to remember, every cell of the body, your pancreas, your liver, brain, all are dependent upon 10% of the protein content and every cell being glutathione, and makes that cell detoxify itself of heavy metals, chemicals, and whatever drugs. And then that makes the cell healthy. And one of the reasons that you have chronic disease is because the cells of the different organs and bodies are producing too little glutathione. They're succumbing to the free radicals. They're succumbing to the toxins, damaging the function of that organ. And that's one of the reasons why One World Way is so profoundly therapeutically powerful, because every cell and every organ depends upon high levels of glutathione. And this is the number one food to fuel it over long periods of time, is glutathione production.
One World Way offers four very, very good tasting flavors: chocolate, vanilla, strawberry, and unsweetened, unflavored. Click and order One World Way right now on OneRadioNetwork.com. Previously with research scientist at MIT, Stephanie Seneff, PhD, and the curious connections between these glyphosates, Roundup, GMOs, and sulfur.
So if you simply put the glyphosate in place of the glycine in the sulfur transferase, you will not be able to get the sulfate from the cholesterol sulfate to some other molecule, such as the heparin sulfate. The cell won't be able to defend itself with sulfate if it can't put the sulfate there. But it's really, really important to be able to do that, because, for example, cholesterol sulfate, it delivers sulfate to the cells. But in order to deliver it, you've got to take the sulfate off of the cholesterol and put it on something else. And that's where the sulfur transferase would come in, and wouldn't be able to do that.
I know, gets a little geeky, but the point is that without the proper amount of sulfur in the body, and now it's being disrupted because of the GMOs, even more than what it was already doing, it's not good. So we think that this sulfur product that we've been promoting is really helping people to keep everything kind of working well, because this whole sulfur cycle is kind of God's way of keeping the bad guys out and exiting the body. And because our sulfur is absolutely pure with no additives, it's different from almost all the other ones out there. You can click an order, three prices, right on our website, OneRadioNetwork.com.
With prevalent economic uncertainty in the United States economy, many investors are looking for safe havens to protect their wealth. One of the best historic investments in the United States has been the acquisition of physical American gold and silver coins. From the 1790s to the 1930s, the United States government issued American money in the form of gold and silver coins available to the general public. You can reach us at SDL Numismatics at 1-800-800-800. 878-2646. We'll be happy to educate investors on how to acquire American gold and silver coins. Call us today, 1-800-878-2646.
Okay, stock market is still Rocky Mountain high. It's 21,222. Everybody just keep buying stocks. I tell you what, be careful. Gold is up 70 cents. Silver's up a quarter. Crude oil is up, and the dollar is down. Andy Goss says we are in store. And Andy, as you probably know, is not one of those who runs around with his hair on fire saying the dollar is going to crash and the world's going to come to an end. I've known him for 25 years. He's never, never been in that category. There's a lot of people out there selling gold, and they're going to tell you, you know, Andy sells gold coins for a living. They're going to tell you that the world's coming to an end. You're all going to die and whatever. And that's why they sell you gold. You hear the ads on the radio. Can only imagine what goes on late night TV. But Andy's never been one of those kind of guys. He's never, never. He just doesn't do that. And he's never been a guy that say things are going to get really bad very often. The only last time he said it was in 2008. He said it in the spring of 2008. And you know what happened in the fall of 2008 in this country? Not it's around the world. The massive, they call it the Great Recession. And he's saying it's on the way, coming again, either this fall, probably, or the beginning of next year. They're going to do it again. So tune into this show on Wednesday. Try to figure out what's going on and somehow to protect yourself from what we think is going to be some really weird stuff going on real soon.
From the Hill Country in Texas, this is OneRadioNetwork.com.
Coming home to a place he'd never been before. He left yesterday behind him. You might say he was born again. You might say he found the key for every door. When he first came to the mountains, his life was far away. On the road, but the string's already broken, and he doesn't really care. It keeps changing fast, and it don't last for long. It's the Colorado Rocky Mountain High. I've seen it rain and fire in the sky. The shadow from the starlight is softer than a
morning. This is OneRadioNetwork.com. The telephone number is 888-663-6386. Email Patrick at OneRadioNetwork.com. Here's your host, Patrick Timpone.
Colorado was one of the first states to do the legalizing the medical marijuana. And then a couple years ago, they legalized recreational wacky tobacco. And so more and more states around the country here, Tony, are getting on the medical marijuana thing. I think there's 26 maybe or 30 states now where it's legal. And then the CBD oil is legal now every 50 state in this country, as long as it's point. Let's see, I think it's 0.003 THC. What's the situation with medical marijuana up in Canada?
We've already had that for quite some time.
Oh, you have? Okay.
The drugstores are now going to start carrying it. Before, you had to get some kind of licensing to get it. I mean, I can go and get a license right now and buy it. And you know, do whatever I want with it because
cool.
You're allowed so much each month. I mean, we've been using that even for people with cancers, and it's been successful. But the thing is, it's got to have the THC mm-hmm, in it in order mm-hmm. for it to work. CBD isn't enough. If they're telling you that, well, I'm not sure what they're seeing. But what we're seeing is the THC content has to be there. I got friends of mine who make their own oil, as well, and they apply it topically for back issues and whatnot. They say within moments they have complete relief and functionality with it. So it's been a all-around herb that has done a lot of things all the way around. You know, they have, again, another one of those things that they have demonized as, oh, it's evil and you're going to die and you're going to be all hooked on drugs and all this stupid crap like that. And they've kept that from the general population, and it has and does has a lot of therapeutic and recovering effects if you use it properly. I mean, but like I said, yeah, as far as that goes,
yeah, I think Canada was going to. Yeah, you guys were. I didn't realize that you guys were that far ahead as far as the medical stuff. That was you won even before California did years ago.
I don't know when California. I know it's been out west for a long time.
Yeah, 10 years, I think. West,
even longer than that. Out west, you were able. I don't know about U.S. I know here you were able to, for instance, in one province, you could grow three plants for your own personal use. Another one, you could grow one plant for your own personal use. You know, and that's also changing and transitioning as well across the way. So it, like I said, things are going to change with that. I've actually thought about investing in companies that are producing it, because I think that's going to be a big.
I think it will be. Now there are some, I believe there are some good uses and some benefits with a well-done high CBD oil, but I think my research also conjectures what you say, go along, that the real mother load of some of the stuff for cancer and all that requires the THC, I believe.
Yeah, even Simpson's formula, when he cooked it down, I make mine the same way he does.
Oh, do you?
Basically, I do a little bit differently. He just used to soak it in alcohol. I blend mine in the alcohol, then I filter it, and then I cook what's filtered. There's more than one way of doing it. Other people throw the whole plant in, and they cook it in the oil and extract it that way. So there's lots of ways of doing it. But anyway, I do it that way, and then I cook it down, and then when I get it to the very bottom of the crock pot, I'll add the coconut oil to it, and then you got to turn it off, and then you got to mix it like crazy. And when you mix it, it's sort of like a sponge. When you, as you stir it up, it actually pulls out more of the components of the marijuana. So by the time you get done, you got a nice, super green oil. And then you got, when you pour that out, then you've got the resin, which I save for a rainy day.
Yeah. Now, what is the difference, do you know, of making the Simpson kind and the kind you do, which is kind of a process, and you got to go through some things, with just taking the wacky tobacco and smoking it or putting it in cookies or something? Is there a lot more benefits to people health-wise that are using when you make the oil, Tony?
The components are a lot more concentrated. You can eat it and get benefit. There's one gal online, she had a condition, and when she started eating it and juicing it, she's all of a sudden her condition went away.
I've seen her, but now she's just doing the raw, just the leaves.
Right.
Yeah, I saw that lady.
When you light it up, according to the one doctor there, when you light it up, the molecule actually changes.
Right.
So instead of working one way to heal the body, it acts as a euphoric chemical. The other way, when you're cooking it or processing it, you're getting the actual chemicals that, it's how you make it to get what you want out of it, right? So that's how, that's what I do. I basically use the oil, cook it down, and then, like I said, extract the resin in the oil itself, so you get a little bit more out of it. I've tried it myself. I mean, when I've used it, I've taken it, and then I don't feel the effect because I use it for sometimes sleep. And when I've done it, very little of it, probably maybe a fifth of a teaspoon. And when I woke up, I was inebriated. So I realized that this is one of those things you take before bed. You've got to let yourself wake up with it on it your own. You can't set an alarm with it. It's just sort of like melatonin. Melatonin does the same thing with me. If I take that, I cannot wake up to an alarm. If I do, I'm staggering around for 5 or 6 hours afterwards. So it has to kind of process.
That's interesting. I've taken melatonin and haven't felt a thing. I wonder why that is. Yeah.
I've had different reactions.
What do you suppose that is? Yeah.
I've had different reactions. I've taken it. I slept 45 minutes. I wake up out of a sound sleep, and I can't go back to bed. I've taken it. Oh, yeah, that's happened. I've taken it where I slept the whole day and whole night and half the day away. It's like when it has a different effect. I don't know, and I can't explain it. Maybe it's just I've never really looked into it. Could be a serotonin imbalance, could be a 5-HT imbalance in the brain that this may be causing.
Sure.
I don't use these things hardly at all for that reason. I like to maintain a certain sobriety so that when I'm dealing with people, I'm not in some far out universal planet in some distant land.
You're in your body. Yeah, I understand.
I'm in my body. I'm in my presence of mind. So, yeah, I mean, on a weekend, I may use it, let's say, from Saturday to Sunday, because that's usually the only day of the week where I can really sleep in. After that, during the week, never. Won't even go near it.
Uh-huh. Mel writes in, Mr. Tony, some time ago you mentioned on Patrick's show about garlic soup as a source of a liposomal glutathione. Can you give us the recipe, how to prepare it, the amount of garlic, water, how long to cook it, and all that? I really appreciate your being on the show once a month with Patrick. Well, so do we. All right. Do we know garlic soup, what he's talking about?
Yeah, it's not a liposome. Basically, just cut up some garlic, chop it up, put it in some water, boil it, and you made soup.
Yeah.
That's it. Boil it for a couple of minutes.
That's all you got to do.
And extract it.
That's right.
Yeah,
so it's not a liposome.
No, not a liposome.
And what is that? What are some of the things that garlic will do?
Again, it super boosts the glutathione.
Mm-hmm.
You got to remember, you got two types of cysteine in there. Cysteine, when you take a cysteine, it immediately goes from cysteine to glutathione. These glutathione supplements have to be reconstituted and rebroken down before they go back to being glutathione. So they're not really the best way to take it. So the NAC or any form of cysteine goes directly from that amino to another one to glutathione immediately in the conversion. So it's a more direct route. And again, you can take selenium with it. You can take alpha lipoic acid with it, again, to expedite this as well. So yeah, just a simple soup. That's it. Just cut it up, chop up your garlic, boil it up for as long as you want, 5 minutes or whatever. Let it simmer, let it cool, and then use. You'll taste the sulfur.
Oh yeah. Here's an email from Valine. Good morning, Patrick and Tony. I have some urinary tract infection karma going on. That's great. Our listeners are so on it. Urinary tract infection karma. About 5 days now. Seems everyone believes that I need antibiotics, but I'm not going to do that. So I've been drinking a little teaspoon of baking soda and water for the last couple of days. Seems to help with the burning. Also been taking a teaspoon of colloidal silver, 5,000 vitamin C, cranactin. I guess that's a cranberry thing. Any other suggestions?
Usually for that, the only thing I give people is thyme. Thyme and bay leaf as a tea, that seems to clear it up really quick. Again,
really?
What are you eating? Oh, yeah, that used to give that to all the women here that would have the urinary tract. Within a day, it would be gone. Again, the cranactin, I've never really seen it do a whole lot. You're making your own cranberry juice and you're extracting it, that's one thing. But buying a lot of these supplements, I found that, again, they'll have either silicon dioxide, titanium dioxide, or some sort of soy or chelate material, a microcrystalline cellulose, which actually block the effect of these things. So you may not be getting, you may be paying a lot of money for nothing.
Yeah.
So when you're using these things, again, your diet, no bread, no pasta, no rice, no corn, no cereal, no soy-based products, no omega-3s like flax oil or fish oils. Flax oil, most men shouldn't be using it anyway because it's extremely estrogenic. Fish oils are all contaminated. There's not one that has been tested globally, and I'm not talking just U.S. or Canada, globally.
Globally.
Yeah, they are not finding any of them are fit for human consumption. Matter of fact, they're not even fit for pigs. So this is what's being sold. So again, be aware of that. You have to change your diet. No sugar, nothing with grain as far as a carbohydrate is concerned. Do not eat the pseudo grains, which I call them pseudo grains, like your buckwheat, millet, quinoas. Leave them alone as well.
Pseudo grains. Let's see. Could you ask Tony what his thoughts are regarding lectins? Oh, I already asked him. So you're not up on lectins.
Well, it's a protein, another protein that he's
pointing out to. They say it's an undigestible protein in the grains that people can't, that's what they
that's
claim,
right? That is an aspect of it too, because when they genetically engineered these grains, they tell you that wheat has never been touched. That's horse hockey. They've modified wheat 300 times. So that protein in that wheat, one of the things I saw was the proline and glutamate levels of these of the proteins in these the current wheat today has been completely altered and imbalanced. So when you eat these things, this is one of the reasons why you have the reaction you have. But like I said, I've taken this research further and seen that it's not just that part of it. That part of it is a contributor. It's the other components that they've added to it in the spraying and in the storing and everything else that goes on with it. So a lot of these grains today are not what you think they are. And, you know, so-called, a lot of these gurus are promoting a macrobiotic or a grain-type diet, saying, oh, the grain has all these benefits. It used to. It used to. So when you're eating these things, it's going to cause a reaction because your body is not meant for you to consume.
Here's an email. I know that Patrick is going to be doing a show on aluminum this week, but wanted to know what Tony thinks is the best way to get aluminum out of the body, and also what are some ways that a person can do to recover from mycoplasma infection. Mycoplasma infection.
Wow, that's okay.
So what's your favorite aluminum?
Epsom salt is the simplest way. Any calcium you take will also displace it. Iodine will displace it. Sulfur will chelate it. EDTA will chelate. You got lots of pectin will pull it out. You got lots of ways to get rid of this stuff.
A lot of ways.
As far as your mycoplasmic, again, you know, where's your copper? Where's your zinc? Where's your iodine? You know, where's your manganese? You know, where are these elements in your diet if they're there? That would reduce this dramatically. Where's your vitamin C levels at? How high are they? What is causing the infection? These are all factors you got to look at.
Does Tony know of a way to use sulfur topically to heal scars?
Yeah, just make a simple little poultice out of it and just apply it. As far as scars go, though, you may want to use aspirin instead. Combine a little aspirin with DMSO, which is a form of sulfur.
Wow.
And just put it, make a... A paste, and apply it on.
Really?
Yep.
What are some other ways that you use DMSO, Tony Pantelorescu?
I'll put it in my bucket when I'm doing my bucket to remove the nano out of my body. I'll put it a little bit in there for, again, better penetration. I've been adding, again, borax in there as well. Of late, experimenting with that, again, to extract more radiation out of the body, because that's what borax does. I may sometimes mix it with other things, maybe essential oils or whatever, or I'll mix it with tea or whatever, and then I'm adding other things to it because I want the DMSO to carry whatever in my system either faster or to penetrate more effectively in the tissues or in the cells. So, I mean, I've applied it topically. I've taken it orally. Mm-hmm. I'm still here. Now, if you are taking it orally, let me emphasize this because this has to be emphasized.
Yeah.
Okay, first and foremost, you cannot take any medications with this because it will also amplify that. Secondly, you have to dilute it down to a 1% to 5% solution because it will get into the brain and can cause the fat to just break down in the brain. So it has to be diluted. You can't just put a cap of something in there and drink it. You have to dilute it. And again, to make a dilution, you would take a 10 to 100 ratio of whatever. So in other words, you would take 2 teaspoons of DMSO to 3 to 4 ounces of water, dilute it so that it's reduced down dramatically. So when you take it, you're only using like teaspoon amounts of this. And you're not taking the whole jar. Okay, because again, it's in a dilute state. It's not going to cause any problems or any issues with the brain. So you have to dilute it. You can't take this full strength. Do not apply DMSO 99% or 70% above the chest, okay? Because when you put it above the chest, it's going to go directly into the brain and again can cause problems. So it has to be done at the lower level.
So you're talking, did you say 5%?
1% to 5% dilution for oral.
For oral.
If you're taking it orally.
So in other words, if you had 1 teaspoon, then you need 100 teaspoons of water?
Is
that what you're saying? That'd be 1%, right?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, exactly. 1% solution, which would be pretty safe to take orally.
No.
If you're applying it topically, you got to remember, it'll penetrate every cell in your body in 20 seconds.
So keep it below the chest. Keep it below the neck.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
what about
below the neck.
What is DMSO doing internally? I'm curious. What goes on?
It cleans the cells. It produces an antioxidant effect. It can deliver. And they've used this stuff for tons of things, from killing cancers to removing toxins. Again, used as a delivery method to deliver either supplements or medicaments because of the way it penetrates. Right, it is a very powerful penetrant. There's a book out on it, and it's about a three-quarters of an inch thick and all the things that they've used it for. I don't use it that often these days because, again, I do other things. I use essential oils or other things. But, I mean, I don't always do everything that I've read. I'll do it certain times for certain things. But, again, this is not something I take on a regular basis either because, again, it's a very powerful healant and a very powerful tool to be using. So it's not something you want to abuse.
I like to use it in my sauna if I put castor oil over my tummy or a colon.
Yeah.
A little bit of DMSO on there to help it kind of soak in there with the heat. Pretty fun. It's kind of fun. Hello, Patrick. This is Ivan. I would like to ask Mr. Pantelarescu a question. Can Tony please give us some suggestions as to what foods and supplements I can take to restore the fat in my facial cheeks? Oh, okay. Facial cheek fat. That's a good question. How do you do that? Do you know, Tony?
Well, whatever you're going to do, it's not just going to go there. It's going to go throughout the whole body. It's not like you can take your face off and dip it in something and put it back on. You know?
All right, so what are the best things for...
I'd have to know what she's doing as well as diet is concerned, too. Like, I mean, are you a vegan or vegetarian? Are you, you know, are you...
Well, what are some things would you add, though, regardless of what they're eating to get a little more fat in the...
A simple fat, you know,
it's just
a simple fat. Yeah, cream, fat, whatever. But again, I need to know some facts there. Like, are you exposed to something that's causing your body to react the way it is? You know, but again, when people tell me this, well, I want to put muscle here and I want to put this here. Well, unless your body can come unglued and go to Walmart and get a new body part and put it back in, it doesn't work that way. The whole it's systemic. In other words, whatever you do to one part is going to affect the whole body.
Yeah. So Tony says, can you please give us suggestions how to remove liver or called age spots from the skin?
Okay, a lot of that age spot from the skin is not necessarily a liver spot. A lot of times it's a sugar protein oxidation that's going on. So you may want to start using things that are, again, like B1, MSM in combination because they are anti-glycating. You can also apply low MSM on those spots to see if that'll disperse it. You can also apply vitamin C on the spot to see if that'll disperse it. But something like a lot is what they call glycated proteins. That's actually causing this. So the age liver spots. I mean, a simple little, the garlic soup that we mentioned earlier can help clean the liver. The Epsom salt can help clean the liver. So, I mean, these are things that you might want to be looking at. And again, look at your diet. Again, a lot of these things are all based on diet. If your body is consuming a lot of sugar, you're going to have problems.
So you've never, or have you ever experienced anything topically for these little spots that have worked in your work?
I've used essential oils and they seem to pull them out. I've used just a simple vitamin C.
Really?
Even DMSO will break them up. Sure. I mean, again, it's just damaged cells. That's all they are. What you may find on some of them that are protruding, you know, like they're starting to protrude.
Yeah.
You've got actually nanoparticles built up in that area. And when you release it, you may find metallic material coming out.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something you may see.
Yeah, Nadine says that frankincense is a nice one for the face. It helps, so maybe you could put that on the face, frankincense oil.
It's an essential oil, so it will break it up.
But essential oils are okay on the brain like that, Tony?
Again, in dilution.
Yeah, dilution. You don't want to do them straight?
They're penetrant, right? So certain ones, like your citrus, can make you more photosensitive. So again, these are some things you might want to take at night before going to bed because you're not going to be exposed to any heavy light. Some of them, like I said, are very powerful and they can get into like your spruce, your pine, balsam fir. These are different forms of turpentine. You know, the difference is where they're extracting it from. One they're getting from the spruce tree, one they're getting from the pine, one they're getting from the balsam fir, but they're all essentially turpentine.
Yeah.
So again, this is not something you want to just put directly on the face. You may want to put a carrier oil like peanut oil or castor oil like you were using. And then apply it that way. Then it slowly releases it into the system. And then there's no issue.
Good idea. Good morning, gents. I would like to hear Tony's perspective overall with homeopathic medicines. From Britty, she says, peace, love, and hippie bees. Okay. I don't know. That's kind of a broad question. I guess there's good homeopathy.
They work.
Yeah, they work.
They work. They work.
They work.
They work. They work. I mean, you got to find somebody who really knows what they're doing.
Yes.
There are some products that are mixing. There was one product I saw when I was down in Arizona. They had everything but the kitchen sink inside these things. They had all these homeopathics with all these supplements, all these minerals. That is not going to work. That is basically a waste of money. You get a real homeopathic remedy, and you apply it the way they're telling you, or you find a homeopath that knows what they're doing and how to use these things, and you will see some profound effects with them. They work. I mean, simple as that. They do work. They work in a different method. They don't work as basically an antagonist protagonist method like herbs do. These work in the sense that whatever you're exposed to, they've taken the same thing and have reduced this down on an energetic level, so that when you consume these things, they can activate your body's immune system or defense mechanisms more efficiently.
Gotcha. Here's an email from John. Does Tony have any ideas about alleviating canker sores? A friend is getting canker sores on a very regular basis and wanted to understand the cause of them and the ways of alleviating the condition.
Canker sores are basically herpes 1 condition, and that's usually caused as a result of a lysine-arginine imbalance. They're eating lots of nuts, seeds, or beans, but that's the main proponent of their diet. They're causing an imbalance in the lysine-arginine levels. So they have to change the diet, get rid of these things out of the diet for a while, start using 500 milligrams of lysine 5-6 times a day until it clears up, and maintain lysine in the system at least 500 milligrams a day. And again, be aware that any foods that have a high arginine content, if you're using a lot of arginine in your diet, you're going to have these issues.
David writes in for Tony on June 12th. Can oil of turpentine be used to get rid of intestinal tetanus? T-E-T-A-N-U-S? What should be the carrier, cod liver oil, sugar cubes, or olive oil?
I would use the oils over the sugar cube.
What is that, tetanus, intestinal tetanus?
I think he's talking about tinea, which is, again, a type of microbe or parasites, whatever. Some of these things you're going to have to literally try and test yourself.
Sure.
Because there's no way really saying it's going to or not going to work. It should. The term here is it should. And again, it should have a positive effect in removing these things. But like I said, whether or not they're actually going to work, the only really way you're going to know for sure is if you try it out. And this is where, again, research and development come in. This is where, again, even when you're doing research and development, the only real way to know for sure is when you actually apply it. And you're going to see a lot of conflicting things in research. One thing will say this works really good, and the next thing will say it doesn't do anything. So then the only really real way you're going to know if it's going to work for you is by actually applying it, and applying it based on how you read your research and studies. Sometimes you have to combine things in order for things to work. Sometimes you have to eliminate things out of your system that's causing the problem. And sometimes you have to reinforce your body with nutrients like minerals like selenium, for instance, you know, selenium, iodine, copper, zinc. You know, these things have to be put back in. If you're not putting them back in the system after they've been pulled out, then a lot of times a lot of things aren't going to work because these main players aren't there. So before you start taking turpentine or you start doing this, start doing that, do an evaluation of what you're eating. Yeah. And then look at what you're eating. You know, if you're eating a lot of grains and breads and pastas, rice, corn, cereals, soy, whatever, these things you have to evaluate. What are you really eating? There is no such thing as organic in the sense that we are been told what organic is. Majority of your organics are all contaminated. After looking at that, like I said, the silicon dioxide, nanosilica research, I was floored at how much they have inundated all the food supply with this. So, you know, you have to reevaluate something else. If all the organics, people who are promoting all the organics, are, you know, if it's really working like it should, why are so many vegans sick? Why are so many vegetarians sick? I get a lot of calls from vegetarians all the time that they've got all these health issues going on. Oh, I got to tell you this. I got to tell you. I had a woman contact me about 3 weeks ago from the United Kingdom. And she said to me, this is a quote, okay? She said to me, how come my friends who eat meat look better than I do? I've been a vegan for 30 years, and I look worse than they do. And I wrote her back. I said, because they are putting back into their body what fortifies and supports their system. The whole vegan thing that you've been on for 30 years and what you've been misled to believe is a stripping diet. That's all it does. It's what it was intended to do. I said, for a short interim, 3 months, maybe 6 months if you need to, you use it. But after that, you got to get off and you got to get real food back. And you got to get real protein, you know, coming from animal sources, real fats. They come from animal sources. You need a balance of both. You can't just do one. So you know what she told me? She says, that's it. As of today, she said, these people should be sued and are telling us this stuff. That's what she said. Not kidding. And then she says, as of today, I'm going to go back to eating meat and cheese and whatever.
That's after 30 years, she's back on meat. That's funny.
Well, because she's seeing the results.
Yeah, I mean, she looks at her friends, right? Yeah, she looks at her friends and says, well, this is not working for me. Now, I've seen some really cute vegans over the years, but I've also seen some vegans that look like that they really need to eat some food, you know. So
well, over time, initially, when a lot of them, the ones that you sometimes see look good,
could be,
they've only been on that diet for a certain period of time, usually between 3 and 5 years. The law of diminishing returns finally hits, and it hits them hard. There's actually a picture that was going around online for a while. They're showing you a woman that was a vegan. And her hair was all straw. She was all dried out. She looked like a husk. And they showed you this other woman that was eating eggs and cheese and meat, and she looked voluptuous and like, yes, now what would you rather have? that's how the theme of it went. And that's exactly what goes on. Wow. So, like I said, I understand what happened, again, because I always look back historically what happened, how that got initiated and how that philosophy got going, mm-hmm. and how that was a misleading of a huge misleading in regard to what was healthy and what was considered healthy. Again, it was a pictorial that they put into your head, you know, to give you this image of this is what makes you healthy. But again, it's one of the most depleting diets that you can get on. So, you know, when you're looking at things, and then today, like I said, with the nano that these things are being exposed to, there's no way you can wash this off because it embeds. So these people are eating a higher concentration of this material, and it's causing them to break down even faster. So, and I'm getting this all the time in the email. Well, I've been a vegan. I've been this. I've been that. And I feel like, and I got this going on. And this is happening. And that's happening. So I said, okay, well, now, you know, you've done your thing your way for this long, and you got all these health issues, you need to change. Obviously, it's not working, you know. Mm-hmm. So,
Iris writes in, how does Tony recommend treating HPV? Never had any symptoms, but sometimes test positive for it, sometimes does not. Well, what can I do about it? The gynecologist recommends ablation. Ablation? A-B-I-A-T-I-O-N. Doesn't sound like you want to do that, whatever it is. Human papilloma virus. I guess that's what that is.
Again, copper, zinc, manganese, iodine, boron, you know, selenium. Selenium. Remember selenium?
I remember selenium. Yeah. Overall, Tony, how did we get so? Is it just a nutritional thing over the years? Get so short on these guys you keep mentioning over and over, zinc, copper, sulfur?
We've just
stripped out of the soils, huh?
We've had, well, not necessarily out of the soil. They may have been in the soil, but then they got stripped out or pushed out when they added all these other components to them, or they got neutralized. Okay, look, when they put some of the grains, for instance, in the silos, they're spraying sulfuryl fluoride inside these silos.
Oh, good.
Yeah, fluoride. So what's happening now with the fluoride? There goes your iodine.
Yeah.
There goes your magnesium. There goes your calcium. They start adding again nanosilica into the food supply, starting at 1960. 1970s, they started adding a whole bunch of other nanoparticles into the food supply. Again, none of it was ever tested. Their reason for not testing it, and this is how ridiculous this was because it was ubiquitous in nature. In other words, it was everywhere found in nature, so it couldn't hurt you. Arsenic is ubiquitous in nature, and it can kill you. But they never tested it. They started spraying it on you, whatever grain, from barley to oat to flax, sorghum, all of it, right across the grain chain. And like I said, even the pseudo grains got sprayed with this stuff, all of it. And then in today's fields, they're using a nano silver, even in the fields, to spray as an insecticide. And they're also using glyphosate, which also has a nano delivery component to it. So what's happening now is we've got food, you know, lots of food. None of it's fit, majority of it not fit for consumption, because when you, instead of building the body and sustaining the functions of the body, the functions of the enzymes, the functions of the antioxidants, functions of the mitochondria, the DNA, the genetic code, it's actually breaking all that down. And then you wind up getting on a ideology or a philosophy that somebody's promoting in order to sell product, and you wind up becoming even more depleted. You know, I've had people see me that have been doing a certain thing for a long period of time, and they look like crap.
Yeah.
And then when, as soon as I get them on just eating eggs and yogurt, something that simple, or lamb, they call me back within 3 days, and within a week they start looking like they've got life coming back into their core again. So, you know, it's these ideologies again need to be reevaluated, because a lot of things that you were told has been nothing but what I call sabotage or a hijacking of your genetic code.
It's interesting, Tony. You know, Ayurvedic medicine, which has been around for 5,000 years, they're not against eating meat in, you know, moderation at all. And you know what they use lamb for? Mostly for healing people that are weak and sick. And they'll recommend a lamb stew. You know, you cook it. You know what I mean? And giving them lamb every night, every day, and it builds up. It builds up their chi, builds up their ability to heal. It's interesting. Lamb.
You know how you hear another philosophy, right? I call it philosophy. Another word for it is BS, but philosophy is how we're not supposed to be eating dairy. When you actually look at dairy, pound for pound, it is one of the most healing foods on the planet. It is the superfood next to egg. And when you see what you can extract out of just milk alone, colostrum, whey, you know, the high concentration of proteins, minerals, B vitamins, and the list goes on, and even the fat, and how this has such a healing factor. There's only one group of people in the whole planet that doesn't use dairy, and that's your Far East Asians. But everybody else on the planet, whether it's Russia, Ukraine, Romania, the Baltic states, India, Africa, Africans live on it. Europeans use it. People in the Caribbean, South America, you know, we use it here, and you get criticized for using it. You use it in Canada. You get criticized for using it. Only one culture in the world doesn't use it, and everybody else does, and is healthy and strong. So when you hear this stupidity of, oh, you're the only people on the planet that, you know, drink milk. Well, people eat meat as well. People eat eggs as well. People eat a variety of things. It's all food. Milk is a food. If it wasn't a food, they wouldn't feed the calves or the sheep or the kids. So it is a superfood. So don't let anybody, because I get people contacting me on this, and so I send them five different PDFs on the value. I mean, milk used to treat tuberculosis, for crying out loud.
Yeah,
back in 1939, that was the cure for it.
Have you ever gotten into the whole A1 and A2 cows?
No, the different fats and the different absorption rates. Yeah, and that's another. I mean, again, that is showing you the value of milk.
Yeah,
you know.
Supposedly, and I don't know which one is which. I never remember. Maybe Lynn knows, and she'll email me. This doctor, cardiologist, was talking about it. That I think it's the A1s or the A2s, and one of them, the more traditional cows, the Guernsey, you know, kind of thing, has a easier protein thing for people to absorb and more healthy, but I never did remember which one was the best. But you know, classic kind of heritage cows, I guess.
Yeah, the fat and the Jersey.
Yeah, Guernsey, is it the Guernsey? The Jersey?
That fat is amazing. Have you ever had butter from that?
I've never known which cow I'm using when I buy this raw milk. I never asked a person what kind of cows they have. I don't know.
If you get a Jersey or Guernsey milk, and you whip that up and you get that cream out of it, right?
Yeah.
Bring it out, put it in the freezer for about a minute so it'll solidify, and then taste that. You will now know what real butter tastes like. It is so good going down. You have no idea.
Yeah.
You know, I did that by accident when I was in Arizona. I was whipping up my unpasteurized milk with my formulation, and a phone rang, and I went to pick up the phone. I started yammering for 5 minutes, came back, and I had this film of cream on the top. I said, well, what do you know? So I scooped it, rang it out, threw it in the freezer for a minute so it maintained some structure, and then I ate it. I says, holy cow, is this ever, it doesn't taste nowhere near the butter you're buying at the store. Not even close.
Tony, we have access to some raw milk, and we can get the cream on a limited supply because it's hard to get. You can't, they don't let you buy 20 bottles, you know, like two, but it's yellow. I mean, it is just grass-fed yellow, man. And it tastes like, you put some of that on strawberries or something? Oh, forget about it. You know, phew. Oh, forget about it. It's like you're in heaven.
And all the stuff that they tell you about cholesterol and fat and all this
that's
stuff.
That's right, man.
A lot of horse hockey.
Yeah, I love it on blueberries or strawberries. It's amazing. This is Kevin in Alberta. Mom is having a problem. Okay. Kevin's mom, persistent GERD issues. She can't take anything with spicy or sour, tomato, fruits, even vitamin C. Boom. She went to the doctor. He diagnosed her with H. pylori and was on an antibiotic treatment for a while. The H. pylori gone next time she checked, but the GERD was still there every year, once in a while. She's on blood pressure medicine that helps. Do you have some ideas? Okay.
Give her some, get her on again, chlorophyll.
Chlorophyll is really good for that, right?
Yep. Sodium, it's got a sodium copper content to it. The GERD, again, is a bacterial overflow or biofilm overflow. She's probably got a lot of nano in there. Make sure she doesn't eat any bread whatsoever, doesn't drink any Ensure, any Boost, or any Equate products. Make sure she's not going near that because that'll exasperate this, okay? And basically, if she can't consume yogurt, and get her on a high-profile probiotic. This is going to take some time to clear up if she's that far gone. And again, the only other thing, two things I would tell you to do is either liquefy some cottage cheese or make your own, like we just explained earlier, ricotta, and use gelatin to repair this. This is a biofilm buildup, and you've got to knock that down before she'll start to even process anything properly. And again, copper will help with that. Zinc will help with that. Iodine will help with that. Borax, boron will help with that. Selenium will help with this. And again, this is what we were talking about earlier. These elements, which are no longer in play, okay, are now, because they're not there, you're getting these secondary results from a primary infection because you removed, the defense mechanisms. Any grain you consume, you're going to wind up with something like this along the way. Any soy you're consuming is going to definitely do this. It's going to basically further wipe out your digestive system. So again, these things have to be avoided. But I'd get her on a good chlorophyll. Make sure the chlorophyll doesn't have any goofy crap in it. It should all be in it. All it should be in it, I believe, is the citric acid to sustain it or to keep it sustained. But get her on that five teaspoons a day or more. In water, tea, coffee, whatever you can get down in her. You can get a broth, gelatin broth into her. I would even mix it with the gelatin broth to start, again, repairing and removing.
Mm-hmm. Lynn writes in, the A2 is the preferable milk. A beta casein protein rather than a more common A1 protein in regular milk. A genetic test developed by the A2 milk company determines whether a cow produces A2 or A1. And I think the A2s are the Jerseys, high butter fat, right? Lower maintenance. And also, I think buffalo, some of these other kind of things. Let's see, A2, let's see if I have this right. Dairy milk usually contains a mixture of A1, A2, but milk from goats, sheep, camels, buffalo, yaks, donkeys are always A2. Oh, okay. So goats and sheep, maybe that's why the goat and sheep cheese and that are easier to digest, Tony, because they're A2s.
Plus the bacteria they're using to ferment it. They're using certain bacterial cultures. And so, again, you're going to get that effect as well. That is the big thing that I've been working with another fellow in New Jersey there on the bacteria. Cultural strains, and we've been experimenting, and he's been doing certain things, I've been doing certain things, and been comparing notes, and it's amazing. Again, the other big thing that's happened too, I forgot to mention this, We are missing four major acids in the digestive system.
Four acids we have. Our digestive system is just totally acid. How could we be missing?
Because again, what's been going on with our digestive system being compromised? Now you need butyric acid, you need propionic acid, you need lactic acid, and you need acetic acid. Acetic acid is vinegar.
Okay.
So you get those acids back into the system. Watch your belly fat and your system start to change and get effective. Those acids are key to eliminate any kind of cancer tumorous growth in the colon.
Really?
If you don't have enough of those, all this stuff about alkalinity, again, this is another sabotage. You know, you have to have these acids in the system as well. There's about 25 or 30 acids I've been looking at, and each one of them are required by the body in order for the body to work. Your aminos are a amino acid. Why is it an amino acid rather than an amino alkaline?
Yeah.
Okay, because you need the acid to activate those proteins so that they can convert. Okay, without the acid in the body to trigger an enzyme reaction or an antioxidant reaction, you can't function. And so these acids are very, very key. If you look up butyric acid, just that one alone is mind-boggling what it does. You look up propionic acid. Again, this is another one that's extremely required for the digestive system. And again, this has been compromised, again, through glyphosates and through other soy and other crap that they've been feeding us and telling you, this is good for you. If it doesn't, and you get a lot of butyric acid from butter.
Butter. We love butter. Well, Tony, I just went to the bank and borrowed $5,000 to buy an alkaline water machine. And you're going to tell me this? Just kidding. Just kidding. No, just kidding. I'm just kidding. Don't do that. I know. You know, those were a big deal. I think they still are. I've known people spend $2,000-$3,000 to get a machine that makes their water, I think, like 9.5 pH or something like that.
All you got to do is add a little baking soda.
Oh, yeah, but don't tell folks that. You know, you're going to spoil their day. God love them. I know. There's some weird stuff.
Well, like I said, this is the concepts and the philosophies that are being perpetrated out there. You know, there is the thing, because everyone's worried about getting cancer, so you want to keep your alkaline levels above 8.
More alkaline. Right.
Okay, now, I'm also saying this. You also need acid to kill cancer as well. If you don't have the right acids in your body, guess what? You can be alkaline all you want to. It isn't going to work. In fact, if you go into a higher level of alkalosis or alkalinity, you can get into a state of alkalosis. You can still get cancer. It just comes in from a different angle, from viruses and parasites, which are kept in check by acid. So again, you can go overboard because, again, they promote that fear-mongering, oh, you're going to die of cancer. There's 99 zillion cancers, and they can all kill you. You've got to be X, Y, Z in the alkalinity level. And then they forget to mention a little fact there, that if the acids are too low in the system, that you too can still get a cancer. So this is one of the things that butyric acid and propionic acid do specifically in that part of the world.
Mm-hmm.
And when you add it to I make a cultured milk. I get about 13 different strains that I buy and add to it. I add the propionic acid, I add the butyric acid, and I've added a little vinegar with it too, and I let it sit and ferment, and then I use that in my mixture when I take my unpasteurized milk mix that I take in the morning.
Yeah.
Just to sustain, because I got into eating a lot of cream, and the last video I did, you could see I put on some weight.
Doing cream. Oh, yeah, maybe I should do more of that. Really, just doing cream, but you put on some weight.
Oh, because again, I'm not active. Like I'm not physically active like I used to be.
Yeah,
so I'm more mental. So I use the cream. And again, if you get on using just cream, you're going to find your appetite doesn't exist. You can go quite a long time without the need to eat. And you're not being depleted. You're not feeling low or anything. And it's, again, the fat is so key because of the acids it also has in it. And again, utilizing your proteins effectively and other things. So when you get into the cream thing, a lot of you will just, you'll do what I did. You'll overload on it because
it tastes so good.
It's good, like, good it's going like, down.
Oh, baby. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, it tastes so good. So be careful. Tony's becoming a fatty. How are your cheeks? You know, maybe this fellow should do some cream that wanted fat cheeks.
Oh, I mean, I said use the fat. I mean, again, you know, I've backed off the cream now because of that reason. But Yeah, I mean, you get into it because after a while, like, you know, you buy a 35% cream or whatever. It's like, oh, yeah, this is, and you just chug that back without not thinking about the consequences. Yeah.
So you got
this
you
is good going down.
So you got a little chubby, did you?
Oh, I did.
Yeah. That's I did. Funny. Okay. Lynn says that fermenting A1 milk, according to research, which is supposedly the inferior milk, the A1, if you ferment it into yogurt, it eliminates the problematic BCM beta casein morphine substance. So that makes sense. We do know, as you've said, that when you do ferment different milks and stuff, it changes the milk for the better, doesn't it, regardless of what milk?
Well, you're pre-digesting it in a way because you're breaking down those protein molecules so that you can actually absorb them, number one. So again, even if you're taking these, let's say you're taking it one world weight.
Yeah.
Okay, so I would be adding either a cultured strain or a yogurt with it just so that when I'm consuming it, whey on its own will absorb very rapidly anyway. It's very high. It absorbs really, really high. I mean, the BV rating on whey, if it's just a whey isolate, it's around 92, which is pretty high. When they add the peptides to it, you're up to about 150 because of the peptides. That's what they promote. You can't go anything above 100, but the point that they're trying to make there is that you're absorbing just about all of it when you add a peptide to it. But if you ferment that or add it to a ferment, oh, the effect is even more because it's breaking the proteins down even more effectively.
Oh, so what you're saying, so if folks are on a one world whey and they wanted to supercharge that, what would you recommend they do? Actually put it's like a yogurt in with it?
Yeah, or add a probiotic to it. Or you can even take it one step further.
Mm-hmm.
Add a little HCl to it. You know how sometimes you see these proteins says whey protein hydrosylate? Well, that hydrosylate is a form of hydrochloric acid that they mix in with that whey. So when you consume it, the digestive system breaks it down almost immediately. So this is another thing you can do, a very cheap, very, you can buy an inferior whey casein, okay, or a whey concentrate, which has got a higher casein content. You can ferment that for a day, or you can add, like I said, the hydrochloric acid to it when you drink it. It breaks it down very rapidly, very, very effectively. If you add a probiotic to it, same thing. You'll find that you'll digest it far, far better and get a better use of the aminos that way, too. So there's lots of ways you can trigger this.
Good. Tony, ask Tony, please, any ideas for ringing in the ears after years of noisy machinery and loud music?
Again, a lot of times I tell people do a search online called antennasearch.com.
Oh, we know that one. I love it. One of my favorite places.
Yeah. So then you can see how many antenna arrays are in your neck of the woods. And a lot of times the ringing of the ears has nothing to do with what you're thinking. Signals are being piped into your brain, directly into your brain. And that's where you're getting a lot of ringing. Now, if it is a true tinnitus, like they're saying, which I don't believe even exists, if it is a true tinnitus, then you might have to increase phosphorus in your diet in order to remove this. If you do increase the phosphorus in your diet and you're still getting the ringing of the ears, chances are it's the frequency that you're hearing.
Okay. I think this is the last one. Let me see. Wow, we did good today. Okay, only 2.5 hours. Great show today as always. I'm having strange tongue issues. That is making my tongue feel numb. And I seem to be losing this sense of taste. I'm doing all the good supplements you recommend, along with diet restrictions, no grains. And any ideas of why my little tongue is not happy?
Zinc and copper deficiency, usually.
Sorry, that was a mistake. Sorry, didn't want to rim shot your tongue. I'm sorry, Tony. Go ahead.
Zinc and copper deficiency, usually.
Zinc and copper deficiency can make the taste go away, the tongue get numb.
Yeah. Yep. If you look up zinc and look up copper, they're key minerals, key elements that trigger the response mechanisms for your tongue to taste things. And again, maybe the food you're eating may have no taste either. Think of it that way. Majority of the food today doesn't have any taste.
Well, that'll happen. That's right. Hey, I lost my taste. Well, because I'm eating Oreos, man.
Yeah.
Oh.
No, I found, like I said, when I drink, when I eat things I get from the farm direct, like certain cheeses and stuff. I get a cheese from Finland.
Yeah.
And when you eat that cheese, oh my gosh, it melts in your mouth and you can, the flavors in it and the salt, and how they've made it is really, really good and the bacteria they use. Hmm. So when you're looking at some of the things you're eating today, a lot of times they don't have any taste. I mean, have you ever actually ate a California strawberry? There is absolutely no flavor
nothing
to it whatsoever.
Going on. Nothing going
Yeah, so again, that has nothing to do with your tongue at that point. It's what you're eating in that regard. So, yeah, you gotta kind of look at that too. But try zinc and copper. You can get a good chlorophyll supplement. You can, again, get a zinc supplement. Start using them, see what happens.
I spent like $5 to bought a container of these orgasmic strawberries, you know, a couple weeks ago from the HEB here. And I tell you what, I was really disappointed. Nothing going on. I mean, it didn't even taste like any of those strawberries. And we get the guy at the local farmer's market, Tony, 180 degrees. They taste like real strawberries.
Yeah.
Real strawberries. So people know how to grow them. And
strawberries should have a bite to it.
Oh, man.
Sweet and a bite at the same time. There's nothing going on. You can barely taste the sugar and you can barely taste any of the acid from the strawberry. And chances are what you got is a modified operation.
I think a lot happens with the tomatoes too, even the organic ones, Tony. I think they ship them in green and stuff. And you know what I'm saying? And they just don't taste like tomatoes. I don't know.
No.
They just don't taste like tomatoes. Well, kiddo, thanks for a great show. We appreciate all your work and all the time that you take with people around the world to keep you working 18 hours a day. So I'm glad you take care of yourself and getting chubby cheeks so you can work more.
Yeah, right. Yeah. I have to back that off.
That's right. We don't want you to get too chubby. All right, kiddo, thanks a lot for your work.
Thanks for having me.
All right, sir. Bye-bye. Tony Pantelaresco, just a guy, knows a lot of stuff. He's really he's got a lot of information, doesn't he? God love him. Okay, he's here the first, second Monday. Ken Rolla will be here the next Monday, which is a week from today. We've got a good show for you tomorrow. Thanks to Lynn. Thanks to Sharon for everything. And we are out of here.
We are listener-supported. One Radio Network.